Thank you, Pastor Kendra. And thank you, Gavin, for being brave and standing up here and sharing that. That's a very important part of our Christian walk and church faces, sharing that publicly. So congratulations. Be proud of yourself. Great job. This morning, I stand before you as a hypocrite. The topic we're going to be dealing with today is how to deal with social anxiety. And this is not something I'm perfect at. And I do not have it all figured out. That's why I say I'm a hypocrite on this topic. But I still think it's important to share because I'm learning and growing, as I think we all should be. In my various roles as child of God, as a husband, father, entrepreneur, friend, coach, I'm working through things that bring anxiety into my life. So as I'm sharing this morning, even as a hypocrite, I ask for grace and understanding specifically around this topic. But before we get into the topic deeply, we have to first understand how anxiety is defined. One definition is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Getting up in front of a church talking for the first time. A lot of people have butterflies doing this. I do this somewhat professionally, outside for my career. Okay, I still get butterflies when I get up and talk sometimes. There was a survey I saw recently online where the options were prepare a speech in front of 1,200 people or sit in a tub of spiders. More than one person picked the spiders. So, a more challenging definition as it relates to anxiety, is a mental condition characterized by excessive apprehensiveness about real or perceived threats, typically leading to avoidance behaviors and often to physical symptoms such as an increased heart rate and muscle tension. So anxiety is a real thing that we need to be mindful of and aware of. And again, I'm by no means an expert on this topic, and I am certainly not a professional therapist. So if you feel you have anxiety that you need help with professionally, that is entirely okay. I encourage you to go find that help that is necessary. There's a place for that, and you should not feel shame in seeking out that help. But when you do seek that professional help, take God with you. Do not leave God behind waiting. God belongs in those conversations. And when we're dealing with anxiety of any type amongst our friends at the shallow level, we're often reminded that these verses, they're shared with us by very well-intentioned people. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. And also Philippians 4, 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Sometimes you'll see these verses, you know, around the house, on plaques, shared out on social media just as information. And while these verses are true, they simply scratch the surface and can be sometimes very simplistic and not get us into the depth of what we really need to do as individuals. And really, it's our action that needs to transpire to help us deal with our anxieties. But this becomes a challenge because oftentimes our confidence has been challenged in some way, shape, or form. Often by the same anxiety we may be dealing with or we may be feeling at the moment. Yet that's the exact opposite of how we're instructed to approach God. In Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. God challenges us to come to him in confidence. Confidence kills anxiety. Taking action kills anxiety. So where do I see many people inviting anxiety into our lives? Our desire to be part of the world, to kind of fit in. Fear of the unknown. And too much focus on ourselves. Now, these are just three of the areas. I mean, there are several other areas that you may have experienced anxiety. But these are the three I want to talk about this morning. First, being part of the world. Almost everywhere we look, we're bombarded with marketing messages from organizations, social media, from government, from businesses, from education. We're bombarded with all these types of information. You know, we should vote this way. We should watch this TV show. And not all of these are bad things. There are good things to be found in the world, but not that many. And if we're not careful with our intentionality of what messages we're listening to, we can fall into the trap of going along just to get along. Yet we're clearly instructed not to go along just to get along. In 1 John 2:15 to 17, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. We're also instructed in Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is something we have to be intentional about as followers of Christ. Because the world around us does not want us to follow Christ. The world around us wants us to follow them. In Pastor Mark Batterson's book, Winning the War in Your Mind, he talks about the lies of the devil and how the devil uses those lies to keep us constrained. If Satan can get you to believe a lie, your life will be affected as if that lie is true. But if Satan's primary weapon is lies, then our greatest counterweapon is the truth of God's word. In John 15, 4 to 9, it says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Gavin, in his testimony, talked about how Pastor Kender went to him afterwards and says, you have a target on your back now. We often don't believe that at first, but it's reality. We have a target on our back as followers of Christ every day we wake up. People who know that we're Christians hold us to a higher standard, as they should. People who aren't Christians but have questions maybe might look to us to come to us and engage with us, as we hope they do. But it's God's word that gives us truth and empowers us to break out of the old ruts of old thinking. And when we draw our declarations from God's truth and make them our own and keep renewing our mind in God's truth, that's when we can truly break free. We have to be careful about what we put into our minds. If you have pets, you're careful about what you feed your pets, do you not? You want to give them the best dog food, the best cat food. In our case, the best rabbit food. Are we as intentional about what we put into our minds and our bodies? But especially our minds? We win the war in our minds by creating a solution for the mental ruts we get in. And the trenches of truth that work with us, the way our brains work, has to be the foundation of God's word. Well, where do we see the Bible living this truth out? One that came to mind was the story of Daniel. Now, Daniel had favor in the sight of Darius, King Darius. But Daniel was opposed by other members of King Darius's leadership team or his influence of circle. Daniel was a strong follower of God. Yet when King Darius made that decree that everybody could only honor and worship him, Daniel refused. So what did King Darius do? King Darius sent Daniel to the lion's den. Despite being close to Daniel, King Darius did what the king thought he should do. But Daniel stayed close to God. Daniel was not willing to go along to get along. He was not willing to damage the relationship he knew he had with God just to please those people around him. King Darius had a sleepless night, and the next morning, we learn in Daniel 6, 19 to 23, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." I'm going to repeat that section. "They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight." Talking about God's. "Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Daniel was not willing to go along to get along. He was not willing to be part of the world that separated him from God. Daniel stayed close to God, and he was protected. The second place I see society and us as individuals inviting anxiety into our lives is the fear of the unknown. In the education system, they teach kids to be afraid of failure. Think about when you were back in school, if you went to a public school or even a private school, what was the worst grade you could get? An F for failure. Students are told that if they fail, the teachers don't know what will happen to their futures. This fear of failure leads to the existence of other fears in our lives and invites other fears in, other lies from the devil to affect us. And this fear makes us paralyzed sometimes, unable to move forward without knowing what the exact answer is going to be. Because we're afraid to fail. And if we don't have all the answers, we're afraid that might lead to failure. So I see that this causes our young people to lose confidence in themselves and their decision-making process. And often this fear of failure continues into their adult lives. Because think about the education system. First 12 years is mandated. Kindergarten through 12th grade. Every year they're being taught to be afraid of failure through the education system. But there's an acrostic I'd like to share with you. Fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is often presented as lies by the devil, lies that lead to a decrease in confidence that can last with individuals through their entire lives. Now, when we're faced with these fears, we have two options. One is we can forget everything and run, or we can face everything and rise. Forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. Well, where do we see examples of this in the Bible? I encourage you to look at young David and his battle with Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17:32, and I'm going to skip it to 37 as well, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And then in verse 37, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. David had confidence in himself, sure. But he knew that his confidence truly came from the Lord. He knew that he would be protected because of the Lord. God had already protected David against the bear. He'd already protected him against the lion. His confidence came from the Lord as a young shepherd. He's exuding this confidence that I see is missing from our youth today sometimes. This continues in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 46. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." Let me reread the first part of verse 46 again. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." David was confident in what he was about to do, but that confidence came from his relationship with the Lord. And David carried this confidence with him throughout his entire life. And as long as he stayed close to God, he was fine. Times where he stepped away from his relationship with God, even for brief periods, that's when he got himself in a little bit of trouble. He stayed close to God, and he was fine. In his book, Managing Leadership Anxiety, retired pastor Steve Cuss shared this: "When we are under pressure, tired, anxious, or feeling threatened, our tendency is to depend on ourselves rather than God." Because when we're tired, when we're scared, when we're frustrated, we think God has left us. But God hasn't left us. Yes, it might make it harder for us to let go of our ego, let go of those troubles, let go of those fears, let go of those frustrations, and go to God, but God doesn't leave us. We need to be more like David and have faith over fear. When our faith is greater than our fear, that is when we are truly walking with God on the path that he has for us. The third place I see anxiety being invited into our lives is when there's too much focus on self. I want you to look at the word anxiety on the screen. And what do you see right in the middle? The letter I. The letter I. When we let our troubles and challenges rise to the level of internal anxiety, that means we're focusing too much on ourselves and not enough on others or not enough on God. In Proverbs 16, 1 to 3, "To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. In Philippians 4, 6 to 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When we focus too much on our challenges and our fears, it's easy to fall into the victimhood mindset. But we've seen this in the Bible as well, the victimhood mindset. When the Israelites were with Moses, in Numbers 11, 13 to 17. Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let my face my own ruin. Do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to me, have them come to the tent of the meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. In these verses, we see the Israelites complaining and whining. Moses complaining and whining a little bit. But we also see Moses realize, and I underline this part, the burden is too heavy for me. Moses realized he can't do it alone. He felt overwhelmed by the challenges the Israelites were facing. He felt overwhelmed by the complaining, the whining, the frustration, the victimhood mindset that they were experiencing. God instructed Moses to bring people around him. The book of Numbers chronicles the results of the disobedience of the Israelites and the results of not having faith in God. God reminded Israel that he does not tolerate rebellion, complaining, and disbelief without invoking consequences. There's consequences for not following God. Moses pleaded with God for his help, acknowledging he couldn't do it alone. And this is a reminder that we're not supposed to tackle our problems alone, but go to God. God is there for us. God will bring people into our lives to help us with this. We also see this again in Matthew 6, 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Staying anxious and constantly worrying never resolves anything. It's important to surrender it to God for direction and wisdom. Placing our focus on Christ's kingdom helps us to take our eyes off our own troubles and circumstances. Because even though the letter I is in the middle of anxiety, that's not where our focus belongs. This doesn't mean we ignore our troubles and pretend they go away. A problem ignored is not a problem solved. But we have to shift our focus to God, who can help us with those problems. And we don't have to feel shame when we can't quiet our anxieties on our own, because we're not meant to deal with them on our own. God doesn't leave us. This brings us back to where we started. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 and Philippians 4, 13. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And then Philippians 4, 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. While they serve as reminders around the house, on plaques, on wood, on social media, people sharing these, it's up to us to embrace the scripture meaning behind them and remember to go to God. Go deeper with our relationship with God. In our daily activities, in our daily relationships, in our daily thinking, we need to act more like Daniel. We need to act more like David. And we need to act more like Moses and lean not on our own understanding, but rather come to God more frequently, more consistently, and surrender to God as these men did. I want to invite the worship team up and the prayer team up. I'm going to invite you to stand as you share this last verse, last set of verses, as a reminder for us to continue to go to God. From Colossians 3, 15 to 17, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him. As you walk out of here today, after we sing to God with gratitude in our hearts, I encourage you and I invite you and I challenge you to get deeper into Scripture. Do it more intentionally. Do it more consistently. Because when you strengthen your relationship with God, you diminish the power of the lies that Satan brings to us. And you diminish the level of anxiety in your life when you stay closer to God. Let's worship.